Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
The normalcy of me preaching to fathers and to men, but I'm not going to do that necessarily. This is a one-size-fits-all message. And so I'm preaching to men, to women, to fathers, to mothers, those that are not, children, every one of us today. The unique thing about all of us is that we find ourselves always being flesh, just inconsistent flesh, at times consistent, at other times. And we all need the great forgiveness of God and His mercy. And we all need to extend that and have it to be extended to us. And so that is what I'm speaking on. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. Thank you for being here today. VBS is going on. I'm excited for the kids today. They're happening. It's happening next Sunday again for them. We're going to be here Wednesday night. God's going to bless. Going to be good things. Amen. I am thankful for the mercy and the blessings of God. One verse of scripture, Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. And forgive us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now let me talk to you for the next few moments on as we forgive. As we forgive. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word that it is right and righteous today. And I thank you that you are merciful and kind and your purpose, Lord, is evident in this house today. And I pray that you would speak to us and touch us. Anoint me. I pray to be your mouthpiece today. Anoint my mind and my thoughts and anoint us all, God, as a people to hear, to receive and respond. For God, I want to recognize the great depth of forgiveness that you have for us and the mercy that you extend to us every morning that they are new and your compassions that fail not. In this I have hope, God. And I know and trust you, Lord, you are faithful. And so, God, I pray minister to some life today. Speak to someone and help them to know, God, your great grace, and we love you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Now, I know you have already done so, but there have been people that have walked in, but would you turn and greet someone? Guests, we are so glad you are here. Welcome someone. We're so glad you're with us today, that you are here. And hallelujah. And then you may be seated in the name of the Lord. It was the prayer of Jesus. Turn this down just a little bit for me. It was the prayer of Jesus while hanging on the cross, just a few short, staggered breaths away from death, that he prayed a prayer of profound depth. Look at this, if you would, please, in Luke. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his garments and cast lots. There, the great Redeemer. The great Redeemer, the one who would span the chasm of the letter of the law to the great grace offered to lawless humanity, prayed, "Father, forgive. Forgive them, for they know not. They know not what they do." If we look closely enough into that prayer, into that one phrase, we all we'll see ourselves at some point, at some place in it. Do you understand this? If we look at that, if we understand it, we all will see, we all will view, we all will be able to comprehend that somewhere in that prayer, we are there. Each of us needing the forgiveness that only God can give for sins and for wrongs and transgressions, sometimes willful, sometimes not, that we just don't recognize that we do. We don't know that we've done it. We don't know that we did it. We don't know that it happened. We know not what we do. We become blinded by our own wanton will. Our flesh forces its way through, never looking back at the damage left in the wake. We know not what we do or what we have done. We fail to comprehend. We fail to grasp. We fail to completely understand, to be able to contemplate what we do, what we have done, where we have acted, what we The words we said and never realized that their hurtful impact. We committed the sin and didn't understand the influence that it had on ourselves or possibly had on others that were around us. We lived the life not considering all those whose lives were not able to live because of that. We know not what we do. We know not what we've done. We can't really see with a clear eye or a clear vision the steps that have taken us to where we are right now and possibly the fallout or the repercussions that have been from the sin or the things or the way that we have been and we have done and the way that we were. We lived the life not considering. The sacrificial lamb prayed that prayer, not just for the moment, but for all the moments of all of our lives. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Do you understand this reach? Are you looking at this clear enough right now? Here. Father, forgive them. Spanning the chasm of time. Father, forgive them. Those behind me and those before me. Those presently around the cross. Father, forgive them. In 2021, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They don't realize the transgression. They don't realize the inconsistency. They don't recognize the sin and the fault and the failure. He prayed that prayer. They were not just words that fell to the foot of the cross where they gambled away their living for his possessions, no. But they were the divine words, the breathings of the Savior that echoed through time to reach to you and I here today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what. They still reach to us. They still breathe on us today. I still feel that in this house on this Sunday morning. I feel that prayer of the Savior that breathes on me. Forgive him, for he knows not what he does. Look at this, if you would please. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The free flow of forgiveness, the sins of us all, cast as far as the east is from the west, out of reach. Do you see that? That was what the impact of the prophet was saying. That was what the psalmist was saying, rather, that as far as the east is from the west, out of reach, out of sight. That's the great grace and nature of God to us. He loves us enough to forgive us even in our failure to acknowledge our own sin. Even when we don't know that we have sin, even when we don't know that we are wrong, he still forgives us of our wrongs when we seek that forgiveness. It would seem that we who are continually contrary, consistently inconsistent, would not forget the weight and the worth of forgiveness. But the truth is, every one of us, seasoned saint in the sound of my voice today, we all forget the impact and the greatness of the forgiveness of God. Every one of us this day take it for granted at times. Every one of us fail to feel the weight of the forgiveness of God. We fail to understand the depth of the forgiveness of God. We forget that God is forgiving. And we forget that God has forgiven us. We forget that somewhere along the way, after we get everything wrapped up, tied it up, and all put together in the church, we forget that God, it all started with he simply forgave us. As bad as we were, he still forgave us. As horrible as you were, God still loved you. As wayward as you were, God still brought you back. That's what he does. It would seem that we would remember that, but we forget. It's the undervalued and underdeveloped fruit of the child of God's life. We want it, understand, we want forgiveness freely given to us, but often find it difficult to freely give to others. We want it to be the low-hanging fruit that's easily reached in our own life, but make it to be the fruit that has to be climbed high for in other people's lives. We want it to be easily grasped when we need it, but when we feel like that somebody owes us a debt, I recognize the weight of this message today. I prayed about this message long before I came up to this pulpit because I needed to live it out before I told you about it. We want the low-hanging fruit to be easily accessible in our life, but we want others have to climb high to get what they need. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and so he offered what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and he offered it as a prayer to be prayed, obviously so, but not the only prayer to be prayed. It was a pattern. It was a plan to follow, a template to grow from. And there in that pattern, he told us to pray this. If you would, please put it up one more time. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matter of fact, why don't you say it with me, would you? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus, the great forgiver, told us to pray, asking for forgiveness as we forgive others. Now stay with me. He wanted us to understand the necessity and the importance of forgiveness, the life-giving, liberating freedom that is offered to both the body and the soul in forgiveness. Forgiveness affects my soul. Forgiveness affects my body. It affects my flesh. It affects my spirit. He wanted it to be understood that it was not just about the getting of forgiveness, but it was as well about the giving of forgiveness. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, God, as we forgive. Do you see this? This balance of the word? Forgive us, God, as we forgive. As we forgive. It was a prayer that is to be prayed in respect to time and to capacity. It was a two-edged sword there. It was a prayer that was prayed in regards to time and capacity. As we forgive. Forgiveness in our life is a way that we walk. It is the time. It is the tempo of our spirituality. As we forgive, time. God, forgive us our debts as we forgive, when we forgive. That's what we're praying. It should be the constant companion that walks hand in hand with the way that we love one another. Forgiveness should be something that we dwell in, something that we live in, something that we breathe in. Look at it this way. As we forgive, or when I forgive, then am I forgiven. At the time that I forgive, that's when I'm forgiven. Look at this, please, if you would. The key of forgiveness. The key of forgiveness both unlocks the door for us to be forgiven when we unlock the door to forgive, to give forgiveness to others. As we forgive others, it's about time. As we forgive, God, when we forgive, it's about time. It's about the need for it now, for it, because it doesn't take long. Somebody hear me right now, please. It doesn't take long for roots of bitterness to take hold when forgiveness is not given. Money, it doesn't take very long at all. You get unforgiveness in your heart. I've seen it happen. I've seen people's life consumed by it. I pray about it every day in my life because it doesn't take very long when you're not going to be forgiven to somebody, forgiving somebody. It will take a root of bitterness in your life and it will grow out quickly. And when it grows out quickly, it doesn't just affect you. Amen. It affects everybody around you. The longer that we wait to forgive, the longer we keep ourselves in a prison of poison that will ultimately destroy ourselves and others by the bitter root that defiles many, the Bible says. Lest the root of bitterness springing up defile many. There's the innocent bystanders that are affected by the poison that leaches out into the soil of the soul and touches them in ways that should not have ever been, all because of unforgiveness. Because at the time that forgiveness should have been given, it was not. When you're in the way with your adversary, be quick to agree with him. Why? Because it doesn't take but a day. It doesn't take but a moment or an hour or a thought or a feeling in the heart for bitterness to find a root and begins to defile many. The longer we wait to forgive, the longer we keep ourselves in that prison of poison. We just stay right there. We stay right there. Look at this, please. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive them not, forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Everybody read that and understand that? This is a difficult verse to digest, but it's still nonetheless the truth. There's the simple message that must be accepted. Our forgiveness to others holds the handle that opens the door for God to give us his forgiveness in our own life. If I am to be forgiven, then I have to open the door of forgiveness to somebody else. I have to live with that door open. Come on, it really ought to be that there is no latch on that door, that it remains open in everything. I don't care what the injustice is. I don't care how bad it is. You got to keep forgiving people. As we forgive, it could be our hesitation. It could be that our hesitation is the thing that's keeping us from really being free in our relationship with God and with others. And I say that twofold. It's not just about keeping your relationship from God, but it's about keeping you from a relationship with other people when there's unforgiveness in your life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's what unforgiveness does. It keeps us, it incarcerates us, it holds us captive, hostage. Unforgiveness keeps the door closed for our forgiveness from God, and it keeps that door closed. We choose to remain. Unforgiveness is a choice. Everybody hear me. It is a spiritual condition that is about choice. I got two amens on that. I'm going to say it again. Unforgiveness is a spiritual condition that is about choice. In their self-appointed cell, too many get comfortable in their own misery, justifying their feelings because of the wrongs of others. And I'm going to talk about that for just a quick second, so stick with me. Waiting for the debt that they think that they are owed to be paid, waiting for the apology or the wrong to be righted. That's not the way of forgiveness works. Hear me. That person, that thing, it may never change. And we don't have to agree. I need everybody to hear this right now. We don't have to agree with another's wrong. And we don't have to continue to be a victim of that wrong. You don't have to dwell in it. You don't have to be constantly oppressed by it. But just because they do not change does not mean that we cannot live and give forgiveness and leave them to their own choices and the judgment of God. That's up to him. What's up to you and I is that we love people to the point that we live in a place of forgiveness. Amen. Some of you had some fathers that were scoundrels. Some of you had some mothers that were not there. Can I tell you, if they did you wrong, if they did you bad, if it wasn't the perfect life you wanted, amen, you can't change a thing about that. But I can tell you what you can change. You can change your posture of forgiveness, and you can love, and you can forgive, and you can be set free, even if they don't say they're sorry, even if they don't say they're wrong. Amen. I'm pleading for somebody to be forgiving today, right now. Right now, because the prayer as we forgive was about time. It was about time. It was about right now. I have seen people come to an altar about injustices and offenses in their life and walk away unchanged because they didn't deal with it then. They didn't leave it there. They carried the hurt. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. But you don't have to be the offender, and if you are, you can get forgiveness, and you can give forgiveness from the one that offends. Amen. As we forgive, amen. As we forgive was also about capacity. It was a prayer about time, obviously so, and it was a prayer about capacity, these two things. We are asking God to forgive us in the capacity that we are forgiving others. Do you see this? Forgive us our sins as we forgive. So time, as we forgive, capacity, as we forgive others. If little forgiveness is given by us, then we are asking God, when we pray this prayer, we are asking God to give little forgiveness to us. If I pray, as we forgive our debts, as I forgive God, forgive me. So if I'm giving little forgiveness, then I'm asking God to give me little forgiveness. If we're holding and harboring grudges and offenses, remembering wrongs and always making another pay for their past, then we are asking God to do the same to us. As we forgive our debtors, forgive us our debts, God. As we give forgiveness, we're praying to be forgiven that in a return measure. Little forgiving means little forgiveness. I'm asking God to forgive me in the capacity that I'm willing to forgive somebody else. Well, I forgive them, but I remember. Well, I forgive them, but that's the way that I forgive them, but you weren't there. I forgive them. Come on, we can talk is cheap. Amen. Because forgiveness is not about the action of another. Forgiveness is about the condition of my heart. I can never make them forgive or be forgiving. I can never change the way they are or they are not. But I can approach the foot of the cross where the precious blood of Christ was shed for me, and I can recognize the mercy that's been given to me and give forgiveness to somebody, even if there is never a change on their part. Amen. Look at this, please. The capacity of our forgiveness is determined by our grasp of the mercy that's been given to us. The capacity of, as I forgive, God, forgive me. As we forgive our debtors, God, forgive me. The capacity of my forgiveness to others is grasped by my understanding of the mercy and the forgiveness that has been given to me. Come on, I'm not in jail today, and you're not in any prison today. We are here free today. But can I tell you, it could be, you could come to church all your life and sit on that pew, but still be incarcerated in your heart because you are not forgiving somebody, or possibly you're not allowing yourself to be forgiven. Amen. He paid the price at Calvary so that you don't have to walk around with the weight of unforgiveness in your life, be it for yourself or be it for another. Lay that at the foot of the cross and recognize you've been given mercy. You've been given grace. You've been given compassion. He's been patient with you. When we realize the mercy that we have received that we did not deserve, it enables us to give forgiveness without reserve or requirement from somebody else. We just live in forgiveness. Whether they ask for it or not, we just live with it. We just don't hold on to it. Come on, I'm telling you, I prayed about this message. I prayed this prayer for my own life. I prayed about these things, and the soil of my soul is a little bit soft today and tender because of the passing of my mother, but I come to this pulpit recognizing that the briefness of life demands that I just don't get anything in my heart. It just demands that I make sure that every day I'm walking back to the throne and asking God to take the burdens that I have begun to bear and just put them back in his hands and say, Lord, take care of this, please. Don't let anything grow in me. Don't let anything grow in my heart. God, I want to love in the capacity that you love. I want to forgive in the capacity. I recognize that that's difficult prayer and difficult to do. But nonetheless, Lord, I want to forgive as you are forgiving. And in turn, we get forgiveness from God and from others that cannot be measured. And then we become more like Jesus when we forgive in that way. Amen. Look at Micah, if you would please. It says this. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Do you see this? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And that will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. God pardons our iniquity. He passes by our transgressions just to get to us. Do you get that? He passes by them just to get to me. He goes beyond how bad, how wrong we have been just to get to us. It's almost as if he gets to us and you look at him and say, but God, do you know what I've done? Did you see my, I passed by that. The blood has already covered it. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You talk to God about sins that you have repented of and prayers you prayed, God, forgive me. When you do it again and again and again, God looks at you in an essence and said, what are you talking about? I have covered it by my blood. I have willed myself not to remember that. He pardons our iniquity. He passes by our transgressions. He doesn't stay mad and angry at us. Because why? Because God delights in mercy. If God got up every morning, which he's already up, but if he got up every morning, he'd get up merciful. He'd get up just dealing out mercy. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. Great is his faithfulness. In this will I have hope. I'm going to remember it. Amen. He will turn to us and have compassion on us. He will subdue and overcome our iniquities. Do you understand that? The iniquities that try to overcome us, God overcomes them. The sins in our life, the transgressions, the things that we deal with, God overcomes them. They're trying to get the best of you. I'm telling you, God's got the best of them. You think you can't? You think you'll never be free? I'm telling you, God is in pursuit of the things that are pursuing you. The things that just are running you down day after day, the things that are breathing down your neck. I'm telling you, the mercy and the greatness and the forgiveness of God is going to overtake those things because that's how much he loves you. Amen. He'll turn to us. Yes, he will. And he'll cast all. I love this. I love this about God. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Not the shallow part. Not the shallow part. But the depths. The place where no one and none can get to them. God does not cast your sins and your iniquities into the shallow end of the pool. He puts them in the deepest abyss that possibly can be because he doesn't want you or anybody else to touch them. He wants them left where they are, deep in his mercy, deep in his grace, deep in his forgiveness. He forgives us to the point that our sins are out of reach. You don't know what I did. You don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But I do know what he did for us. Yeah. That's how we should forgive others. Make it out of reach from our heart and theirs. Get it out of your heart, somebody. I know I've said a lot today about forgiveness, but I'm just asking you one more time. You got something in your heart. I'm not saying you can change them. I know that. And I'm not saying that you should, that you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to be around it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to come into agreement with it in any way. I don't condone that. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, wherever your posture is, don't let it become the posture of unforgiveness. whatever the position of your heart, don't let it become something that you hold on to. You're not going to change them. I know that. You're not going to change the way it is, and you don't have to. That's not what this message is about. You have to leave those kind of things to God. I've learned that there are people in my life that will never change, but that doesn't mean they have to change me. So get it out of your heart. Maybe you need to make the phone call. Maybe you don't. Maybe there's not a phone call to be made. Maybe it's not anybody. Go on, musicians, to come if you would. Maybe there's not any contact that needs to be given. That's not what this is about. But it is about just laying it down, getting it out of your heart, just putting it there at the altar, because you don't want bitterness killing you. You don't want bitterness strangling the life out of you. You don't want it taking your joy. Don't lose your joy for anybody. I'm going to repeat that. Don't lose your joy because of anybody. Don't lose your happiness and your peace because of anybody. Because there is peace everlasting in God. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory in God. Maybe not in this world and people, but I'm telling you, you don't have to let that steal it from you. That's how much He loves us and wants us to love one another. The measure of our Christianity. Everybody hear this last bit here. I'm talking. The measure of our Christianity and relationship with God is not measured by the coverings that we wear or the works that we do. Everybody, hang on for just a second. I don't want anybody misunderstanding this, because I'm not saying these things aren't necessary. But I am saying this, that the measure of my Christianity, the measure of my relationship with God, is not how holy I dress. It is not how approved I am by others. The measure of my Christianity and my relationship with God is not about how righteous I appear or present myself. Because again, words can represent one thing but mean something different in the heart. The measure of my relationship with God and my spirituality and my Christianity is how much I love other people and forgive them because I love God. That's how you measure your relationship with God. It's not how many hours I have or have not prayed. It's not about how holy or unholy I am. It's not about how good I am or what good works I do. It's about the fact, do I love one another? Because He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when you love one another. And so I forgive. Father, forgive me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Therein is time and capacity. We have to do something with it. We have to decide how big our forgiveness is. We have to decide when our forgiveness is going to be. Because if we're going to forgive little, we're going to be forgiven of little. And if we're going to wait to be forgiven, then we're going to, forgiving, then we're going to have to wait to be forgiven. Because today, can I tell you, your hand is on the handle. And it's up to you to leave it at the foot of the cross and not gamble away your life. And not gamble away all the mercy and grace given to you. Amen. And just be forgiving. Because when you do that, you will be free. Somebody pray with me right now. Come on, somebody needs to give and get forgiveness today. Somebody just needs to lay it all down. Some wrong, don't hold anything against your mom or dad or your brother or your sister, your family, your friends. You just need to put it there at the cross. They may not have done you right. They may never do you right. It may never change. The circumstance may never change. But don't let it change you today. Don't let it incarcerate you. Don't let it become a poison pill that destroys you. God, we love you right now. I pray. Come on, everyone, pray with me as we stand to our feet and they begin to sing. This altar is open for all of us. Someone repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with His Spirit today and be saved. And be saved by His forgiveness, by His mercy, His grace, His love, His compassion. Come on, lay it down. Lay it down. Put it at the foot of the cross today. Come on, let God change you. Let God heal you. Give forgiveness today. Receive forgiveness today. I love you, God. I thank you, God.